Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of Joe or a hot cup of tea or whatever you're drinking today. Still piping hot. I just got up a few minutes ago, took the dog out, took myself out, put the cat out, and I'm tickled to death that the back porch or the back deck is not covered in dew, so I can just sit out here and enjoy the sounds. I hear my dogs barking, and I've got ducks on both sides of me in the yard quacking. They're just party animals. They're up all the time. But gee, it is 4:54 in the morning, so that you can get this podcast bright and early whenever you wake up and enjoy some morning coffee with me today. We have got, let me put my glasses down so I can kind of verify. Yeah, the full moon is fading a little bit. I heard somewhere where this is like a super moon or something like that. And I don't know, all the full moons always look the same to me unless it's a harvest moon and it's just sitting there over the treetops. Those things look so huge to me. But when they're up in the sky, they're just the moon. I do like full moons and pardon me. And especially when it's a clear sky and you can kind of focus in and look at the details of the different the landscape of the moon. It's kind of cool looking at that. I could see where, you know, people long time ago would think, you know, that there's a man in the moon or the moon is a god or something like that because of the features. But in all actuality, it's just a great big chunk of Swiss cheese up there floating around. You know, when I was a kid, I was becoming aware of things outside of myself and outside of my family. You know, like most kids do when they're, you know, like kindergarten age or thereabouts. But I think I would probably put it with the space program and man landing on the moon. Actually, was it? I have to stop and think. Was it like July 4th or something like that, 1969? The goodness, I'd have to look that up again. I kind of remember it. I had a lunchbox back in grade school of the moon landing. And I still got it somewhere. It had the thermos. It had all the things on a metal lunchbox and had the thermos that had the glass thing inside. And, you know, kids are rough with lunchboxes and stuff. I think Dad had to replace it at least twice, I'm going to guess. Because that glass part on the inside got broke, but it was common enough. All your stores stocked replacements for that. But you know, it was an amazing, fascinating time. I remember it wasn't with Apollo 11. It was one of the later ones, and I remember being up here at the farm when my grandparents were the ones that lived here. And it would have been in the early 70s. And I remember exactly where I was standing. And I was still young enough, you know, to sometimes have a hard time between fantasy and reality. Of course, there's a lot of us adults that sometimes have troubles with that. But I remember looking at the moon. I was standing by the old blacksmithing forge. And I remember looking up into the sky, it was daytime, and seeing the moon and saying, you know, I think I can see the moon base. I think I can see where it's at. And of course I couldn't, but my imagination, I just wanted to be there, wanted to be an astronaut like so many kids did back then. And frankly, a lot of kids and young adults want to now that we're, you know, with all the whole SpaceX programs and stuff like that. You know, we want to go places. We want to see things. A lot of us do. And some of us have had the chance to go do those different kinds of things, and others may not have. But I was kind of thinking about, you know, places, you know, to see, to make sure that I see, or, you know, that I'd like for my kids to see. And different ones have traveled to different places. You know, different experiences. Of course, when you know, I've gone hiking in the mountains with my scout troop, and then with my son's scout troop. Went to New York City with my wife and Aaron and Jess with the marching band, and had some neat experiences together there. You know, my daughter went to school in Ireland for a year and got to go over to Europe, including Greece, which I had been to before. Actually, this summer, my daughter-in-law, and then in a totally separate trip, but almost at the exact same time, two of my old good friends from high school, they were in Greece as well. And all of them went to the island of Santorini, which... oh, I'd love to go back, but then again, I think I would probably be disappointed because it was a quieter place when I was there almost 40 years ago. And in going back, I'd want to recreate the incredible experiences that I had when I was 19. But, you know, when you think about places to go, things to see, that kind of stuff, you know, you can find different suggested bucket list or travel list things to see. And I just pulled up one here on Google. It was from Forbes magazine, titled Bucket List Travel, the Top 50 Places in the World. And it was published September 4th, 2019. Okay, who was the one who did this, giving her credit? Laura Begley Bloom is the one who did it. And so, not going to read down everything on the list, but just, you know, some of the things that jump out at me. Bali, Indonesia is the number one on their list. And, you know, there's beaches, volcanoes, Komodo dragons, all kinds of stuff. You know, there's a family member who had gone to, I think it was Bali. Saw a lot of those neat things. New Orleans, I've had the chance to go there. Rode the City of New Orleans train down to New Orleans with my kids. And that's just an amazing city. There's Kerry, Ireland near the top of the list, which is in the western portion of Ireland. Beautiful landscape. They've got a town there called Dingle. I just love that there's a town called Dingle. I wonder. No, I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. Anyway, you know, they have on the list Morocco and Sydney, Paris. Never been to Paris. My daughter's been to Paris. Let's see. Other ones. I've been to New York City. Saw New York a Broadway musical there. Edinburgh, Scotland. I've had the chance to go there many years ago. I have seen a variety of places. But, you know, just jumping down, India, New Zealand, Japan, Antarctica would be an interesting place. Wouldn't want to go there in the death of winter. All you'd see is the inside of the buildings. But they do take... small cruise ships down there. Let's see, Los Angeles. You know, I used to get excited about big cities. I really don't get excited about them anymore. I don't know why. They list, number 24 on the list is Santorini. When you see the whitewashed small buildings and churches with blue roofs and, you know, just incredible scenery, a lot of that is photos from Santorini. And again, the place I stayed, nice, quiet place that I hear is extremely crowded now, is the village of Ia. And it was just wonderful. London, England. Again, I'm not into the cities anymore, but that's a good one to go. I've got a friend who grew up in Hong Kong. That would be an interesting place to see. But just a variety of different ones listed here. Let's see what's near the bottom of the list. Machu Picchu, down there in Peru, the city that was completely covered in foliage, and it was discovered not too many years ago and uncovered, and I guess it's just an amazing place. That would be a cool one to go. Hanoi, Vietnam. I don't know if I'd want to go to Hanoi. If I went there, I mean, I've worked with a lot of Vietnam vets, and I know Vietnam is not the country that it was. It's not war-torn anymore, and it's trying more and more to become more westernized and accepting. They want, you know, U.S. trade, so they do have a lot of tourists, even for Vietnam veterans going there, and it is. There's just everything imaginable in that country. Hawaii, that would be a fun place to go. Have no interest in going to Beijing, China. Budapest, Hungary. That would be kind of interesting. It wasn't Budapest. It was, I can't remember now. Maybe it was Budapest. There, years ago, there was a one of these discount travel sites. They had a five-day package, including airfare from New York, to go there. I think maybe it was Budapest. And it was just, I wanted to do that, take the kids when they were little and just go over there for the week, because it was only like, including airfare and stay, it was maybe $500 a person. May have even been less. I can't remember for sure, but it was a sale that went for, you know, like a season. I mean, it was there for a while. I think they were just trying to get more and more tourists interested in coming there. Number 50 on the, 49 is Las Vegas. That's a crazy experience. When they say it's a town that doesn't sleep, that's because the lights are on all the time. And then the Matterhorn, Switzerland. I had a great aunt and uncle. They didn't have children. My great uncle, he was a school teacher. And in their summers off, they literally traveled the world. They went somewhere all the time. They just had, you know, from my perspective, an amazing life where they had the time that they, you know, did during the year with their jobs, and, you know, they were also a farming family, but during the summer when the crops were growing and not needing any attention, they went to every continent. And the last 50, number 50 is the Matterhorn in Switzerland, and they actually went up a portion of the way on the Matterhorn. Just neat places on a bucket list. And I hope that, you know, in your life that you create a bucket list that you can work towards. You know, it doesn't have to be huge things. You know, I really don't have a whole lot of interest in leaving the States at this time, but I would love to be able to visit many of the different national parks. See some of the, you know, I've been to several, but, you know, to see some of the amazing ones and go there, take my wife to see them. I'd love to take her to Yellowstone. I've been there, 3 times, and she hasn't yet. So I think that would be a fun trip to take. But you know, these different kinds of fun things to see, and they're some are absolutely amazing. What I'd really like to encourage you to do is think about and make a list of two places that you need to go. Now, I know I'm saying make a list of two places you need to go. But each place, there could be multiple places. And I saw this very short meme out on Facebook the other day, and it was like, I like this. You see, the different kinds of typical bucket list things are wonderful, and they create a lot of neat experiences. And now with digital photography, it doesn't cost anything to take as many pictures as you want. I took many rolls of film and developed and made prints and stuff from them from my trip to Greece. And that wasn't cheap. And you didn't know if the photos turned out till you got home. When I went to, where was it? Was it on the England trip? I think it was on the England trip. I'm not sure. There was one trip I took and something goofed up and one roll of film that I shot was completely blank. Oh, it killed me. It absolutely killed me. But here's the two places, and you're going to need pencil and paper. So if you want to start now or if you want to start later today, I really encourage you to do it. So it says there are two places you need to go often, not once. That's why it's different from a bucket list. But two places you need to go often. So the first place, you write this down as a heading. The place or places that heal you. The place or places that heal you. And the second one is the place or places that inspire you. You see, we need healing and we need inspiring. Life is rough. People can be rough on each other, and straight up honest, your worst enemy at times is yourself. And you need to heal from the crap you give yourself as well. You do, I do, we all do. So where is a place or places that you can go that heals you? It's different for each person because our wounds, whether they're fresh or they're old, that need healing, many times the place may have a connection to that. I remember from many years ago, I had a good friend. We had been very good friends earlier in junior high, first part of high school, and then kind of drifted apart. And his name was Scott. And he was the first person to die following our high school graduation. And there was a tremendous amount of pain that I felt with that. I had a lot of, I guess what I would call false guilt, misplaced emotion. I wasn't to blame. I wasn't there or anything like that. But it, you know, you can still feel guilty. Like, I wish I could have done something, but there wasn't anything I could have done. It wasn't that kind of a situation, but there was just a lot of pain. A lot of woundedness. And as I go back, I can remember it. I'm not quite feeling that pain again, but I remember that I had a lot of pain. And a place I needed to go to heal And I did it on Memorial Day weekend, was go out to his grave. I would go out there and put some flowers, or, you know, back then it was, you could get these little wooden crosses at the store that had some flowers attached. And I would go out there to the grave, put my flowers there, and of course his family had placed flowers also by the time I got there. And I'd have a conversation, tell him how much I missed him, reminisce about some of the good times. We were in Scouts together. And it was an important part of my healing. And actually, I did that every Memorial Day for 10 years. I needed to. It was a place where I needed to go to heal for that particular loss. I needed to go there to heal. And on the 10th visit, the 10th year, I said, I told him, you know, this is my last time coming out here like this. I've been there a few times since. But I said, I feel like I've healed. And kind of wished him well, you know, for his journey. But this particular part of mine, I had healed. You know, coming up in a few days, it's going to be 10 years since my dad passed away. And I go to the grave on occasion for both of my parents, but that's not, for them, is not the place of healing. The place of healing is, for Dad, is right around the farm. I think healing for my mom is, you know, she lived with us for 3 years, is going into what was her bedroom, because we have some of her bedroom furniture there as, you know, what we're decorating that room with. Pulling out some of the little mementos that we have, whether it's her jewelry or, you know, going to her house and kind of walking around where I grew up. It's not so much for me, but it's for, you know, healing from that loss. That, well, this year will be 2 years. Where do you need to go to heal? For whatever it is. Maybe it's church. Maybe it's, maybe there's a place. I'm not talking about death healing always. You know, I've had very stressful jobs because I work in the human services field for all these years. And when I lived in Effingham, there was a particular place on Lake Sarah. West of the dam, they've got a little public access area and stuff where you can go. It's a park. And there's one peninsula that goes out into the lake. And I would sit on the hillside sloping down towards the water. That was a good healing place for me. I find being out in God's creation, being out in nature, helps me with healing. But what I want you to do is on this piece of paper, list down where are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, however many, but are good places for you to go to heal. Now, when you make that list, start scheduling time to go there. Don't know about it and know it helps you with healing and ignore it. Get out there and do that. Get out there and do it. And if you don't have a specific place, make a place. Make a place where you can go and heal. The second on this list, or the second place, I mean, is a place that inspires you. Inspires you to do what? I don't know. Whatever God wants you to do in your life. Whatever things that you would like to personally achieve or do in your life. You know, my wife and I, yesterday afternoon, we watched the movie Courageous. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you haven't, it's about four police officers and one of their friends that strive to be the best husbands, fathers that they can be, and friends. And they make a very formal pledge to do that. And then the challenges that they face in real life, in their lives. I mean, you know, it's a fictitious story, but in order to face challenges that, you know, put them, makes them have to really consider the pledge that they made. But I find that movie inspiring. It kind of points out my shortcomings. Not kind of, it does. It points out shortcomings. And it inspires me to do better. What inspires you? What inspires you to do better or to find and do something that you really want to do that's important to you? Where do you find inspiration? You know, some of the different bucket list places can be inspiring. I mentioned, you know, going to Yellowstone. Just south of Yellowstone is Grand Teton National, or I guess it's just Teton National Park. It's amazing. Mountains I find very inspiring. The rugged Rocky Mountains, mostly. Appalachia, I love Appalachia, but for a totally different reason. I found the ocean inspiring. I guess when I find things that are bigger than me, I find those things inspiring. But also, I can be inspired by watching the natural joy and excitement of children. You know, the happiness that they can just express spontaneously. It's like, I want to have that again. I want their energy. I want their lack of joint pain. And I want to have that kind of happiness. That's inspiring. What are the places where you go that you feel inspired for whatever you need inspiring on? Start making a list of those things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then put them on the calendar. Make ways of going to those places. They don't have to be, you know, well, I'm inspired when I go to Ia, Greece. Yeah, it's a beautiful and inspiring place, but there's more inspiring places within a 5-minute walk or a 1-hour drive from where I live. Find what inspires you, where that's at, and go there. Maybe you're inspired by a local college or university. Maybe being in a place, you know, like I found inspiration in the library at Eastern Illinois University. You know, I would sometimes walk around, not just looking for a particular book that can get lost in the stacks down in the basements, but I was inspired by, look at all these hundreds of thousands, if not millions of titles in this building, where there was some sort of a subject that inspired an individual or a group of individuals to write a book on it. Everywhere you go, you see evidence of people's inspiration. That right there can be a great place. Hey, we're out of time for today. Thanks for sticking with me if you're still with me on this episode. And we'll catch you next time. Have a great one. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.